Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for a double program night. We start with our regular show. We'll do a very short one, and then I'll be going to the private Patreon hangout for the Patreon, subscribe star, and backed by supporters at the $20 level. Make sure you join these platforms if you want to receive the link for tonight. I remember this video. Trump was right, and I think it's great to rewatch it.
BuzzFeed dug up an old quote from Donald Trump talking about a large-scale terror attack 19 months before 9/11. In his 2000 book, The America We Deserve, Trump wrote, "I really am convinced we're in danger of the sort of terrorist attacks that will make the bombing of the 1993 Trade Center look like little kids playing with firecrackers." Trump also mentioned the mastermind of the attack, writing, quote, "One day, we're told that a shadowy figure with no fixed address named Osama bin Laden is public enemy number one, and U.S. jet fighters lay waste to his camp in Afghanistan. He escapes back under some rock, and a few news cycles later, it's on to a new enemy and a new crisis."
Trump. Wait. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Is this really Trump before 9/11? Have you read this?
It's 2000 in his book.
Are we making this? Somebody, did you make this up, Mika?
Nick.
I did.
Did you make this up?
Nick, tell us it's over, right?
Because will you stop?
About everything.
Mika, stop. God.
I don't think it's over.
What's that? What's the rage here? Will you stop?
No, it's cute. I think it's cute.
Well, go for it.
Really quickly, though. I mean, so Willie, that was
2000.
In a book he wrote in the year 2000.
Yeah. Well, it was published in 2000. He could have written in 1999, for all
exactly.
We know.
He might have been really more precious.
So he predicted the attacks from a
Buzz.
Of course he did. That was very well said by Trump. The fact that he could have up to the vision that it could be Osama bin Laden, and there would be eventually other scapegoats, other enemies that would be focused on by the news narrative, that is quite fascinating. But yes, Trevor Canning, news anchor are insufferable retards. Yeah, it's like you cannot even get them to stabilize on the subject, you know. Hey, let's talk about what we just read. No, it's like they go into the useless, light type of conversation uncontrollably. "It was enough of an insider," says Frog Eyes, "to have gotten the heads up." Yeah, I mean, that's another possibility because Alex Jones knew something about this a couple of months before. So there has been intelligence precedents that Donald Trump could have had access to directly or indirectly. I think that something like this must explain this, because I don't think you can pull it so much on the target like this based on only public considerations. Naberius says, "Funny to think how much Sam Harris and the IDW criticized Trump for being a dunce. Meanwhile, he makes fully prescient predictions about terrorism in the 90s. Yes, well, in the year 2000, but yes, that is true. Like, you don't hear them talk about this aspect of Trump, a very visionary guy. We have a direct video of the person who paid $500,000 in Bitcoin fees. Here he is vomiting. Oh my God, it must feel very bad to have ended up spending $500,000 to transfer $200. There he is. He keeps vomiting in a loop, it would seem. So apparently on the blockchain yesterday appeared a transaction where someone paid 2 billion sats, the equivalent of $500,000 in fee, overpaid 479,000 times what he had to pay. So that's something I wanted to let people know, because people on the regular chat were saying, that's why I don't trust Bitcoin. I don't know if this would happen to me. It's very unlikely that this would happen to anyone who doesn't want it to happen. Which is why I'm looking at this transaction and I'm like, it's probably something like something that has to do with, I don't know, money laundering. Maybe it's someone who knew he was a minor, or he had a friend who's a minor, and he just wanted to make sure that he transfers money to that person. And perhaps there was a technique by which the minor could have made sure that he was the only one capable of introducing that that amount, that transaction. You know, maybe it's a private transaction that was handed directly to the minor to make sure that $500,000 were transferred to the minor. Or maybe it's someone who played with a script and who was handling that script irresponsibly. But it's basically impossible that this happens to you as an end user if you pay any sort of attention. Because you will need to approve, you will need to see the fees estimate, you will need to say yes to it. On any sort of Bitcoin device, there's always a fee estimate. On any sort of software wallet, there's always a fee estimate, and there is a max fee. I don't see this happening to anyone. Defenestrator says Pyro Wallet tells you if the fee is high and suggests fees. Yeah, exactly. Any wallet will warn you about this. So what could have happened? Maybe he was playing with scripts, he was programming, maybe he made a transaction without having the normal safeguards that are in Bitcoin software. And he ended up overpaying what he didn't need to pay at all. This is not a case of Bitcoin fees being high. It's a case of someone making them high almost voluntarily. There has to be some oversight that he has done in his or some voluntary decision that he must have taken. DK Shadow says, first, you must have $500,000 in Bitcoin to fat finger it, most of us are safe. Yes, exactly. People were asking on Twitter, how do I protect from this? And the answer is never accumulate $500,000 worth of Bitcoin and it will never happen to you. Frog Eyes says he obviously had access to a significant amount of Bitcoin to begin with. He was careless in crafting the transaction. Perhaps he manually configured the gas fee, but fat-fingered it and approved some massive transaction fee. Yeah, exactly. And it is said that it is an heavy user. So we're talking probably about the wallet of some corporation out there, some exchange maybe, because that wallet has received and sent more than 120,000. Bitcoin transactions. A user accidentally paid nearly 20 Bitcoins in a fee to move just 0.008 Bitcoin, setting a record for the most expensive transaction fee paid in US dollars for a single Bitcoin transaction. The wallet that made the payment is a Bitcoin Power user, having sent and received more than 120,000 transactions. The transaction that paid nearly 20 Bitcoin fee a few hours ago looks like an exchange or a payment processor with buggy software. So always be careful. You have these gigantic entities that are handling money flows that are irreversible. Binance, Coinbase. They are coded by teenagers. And sometimes the teenagers become rich, they go on vacation, and then they get replaced by other people, and no one knows what the fuck these functions mean. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to try something here. And it doesn't take much for a software to go awry, to do something completely stupid, you know? RoDataSid says, probably is script inverted fee and payload. It's possible, you know, just an error of variable, and suddenly the fee finds itself in the actual amount. Oh my God. Defenestrator says the guy should just call up the CEO of Bitcoin. Ah, yeah, the Bitcoin CEO. He's a tough guy to negotiate with. Anyways, I hope that I hope that this will not hurt anyone, and that if it's an exchange, that somehow they will have generated enough profits to pay for this, because it sucks if someone will be deprived of their Bitcoin because of this software error. Pennsylvania residents are loading up assault rifles and patrolling the area where the escaped illegal alien was seen. So, I didn't know this was could be going on in Pennsylvania. Some kind of illegal migrant hunting.
Look at this. Look at this. This is what I'm talking about, people. There is a... Are you out here? Do you normally put these on here?
Only
one
dude's running around with
20
grand price tag.
You're looking
for... Oh, so there's a 20 grand reward on finding this man.
For the 20 grand. God bless you. Be safe. See what I'm talking about? Look at this.
Wow. Pennsylvania. I didn't expect this to happen in Pennsylvania. Maybe Texas, you know? But Pennsylvania is kind of half-half Republican, Democrat. Canada PM Trudeau stranded in India after a plane breaks down. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his entire delegation have been stuck in India since Sunday while trying to leave the Group of 20 summit after their plane broke down. Upon our departure from the airport, we were made aware by the Canadian Armed Forces that CFC-001 was experiencing technical issues. These issues are not fixable overnight. Our delegation will be staying in India until alternate arrangements are made. Well, that is fantastic. Let's hope that this takes some time to organize. We have Trudeau exactly where he wants Canada to be. Trudeau wanted to bring in Indians toward Canada, but the reverse happened. So at this point, no one's complaining. He's got what he wanted, a very diversified version of Canada, that is India. Far-left insurrectionists have stormed the Speaker Kevin McCarthy's office. I'm assuming that these people will be locked up immediately, put on no-fly list, and will have their houses raided, and will be sentenced to years in prison. I don't know that that will happen. Oh my God, an HIV positive t-shirt. If I was president, that would totally be the way to basically do an insurrection. You come in my office with an HIV positive t-shirt. I'm like, okay, I'm giving up. You can do whatever you want. You can chill on my desk. You can spit on the walls, spit on the chair. Anyways, I'm not coming back. So you have at it. You can destroy all of my office. I'm putting it down anyway. Oh, we learned that actually the news I just reported about Justin Trudeau being stuck in India is fake news. Sorry to have reported fake news. It is not true. Actually, Trudeau was just stuck in the Toronto airport, but he mistook it for India. Ah, well, now I understand. Okay. So he wasn't in India for real. He was just in Toronto, and he looked around, and he thought he was in India. All right. There is historical precedent to mistaking North America for India. I mean, I think it happened somewhere in the 17th century where people wanted to go to India, but Toronto was there instead. It happens. FDA authorizes new COVID-19 shots from Pfizer, Moderna. Wow, we got new vaccines coming in. The Matrix keeps glitching. Now that only the most mentally unstable liberals are demanding that the government protect them from near certain death by forcing them to wear face diapers that don't and never have worked. On the afternoon of September 11, U.S. drug regulators, many of whom are undoubtedly hoping to get a job offer at either Pfizer or Moderna, as soon as they quit the public sector, authorized new COVID-19 vaccines to try to counter the poor effectiveness the current slate provides. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration cleared shots from Moderna and Pfizer that will be available to Americans as young as 6 months of age later this month. It's a different question if anyone will take said shots, following the recent news flow suggesting that the side effects of the COVID shots are far more dangerous than the so-called vaccine. Okay, well, that's opinion, but all right. Yeah, I'm not super warm at the idea of continuing this vaccine rollout, but if they're there and available and not forced onto people, I don't object. But I think at this point, we're killing people. We're killing way too many people with these vaccines. We have to relax. We're killing too quick, too randomly. The why not culture, why the Georgia final report should worry us all. And they take this photo of this girl who you will remember. She was on the news for being part of a grand jury, I believe. The grand jury charging Trump. And she was like, well, I was just thinking, oh my God, this is the president that I'm indicting. Oh my God, this is Trump. Oh my God. And she was so happy about it. The recommendation for sweeping indictments involving 39 people, including current and former senators, only magnifies fears over political persecutions. For many of us, the inclusion of figures like the senators reflects a rogue grand jury. And people, yeah, like Lindsey Graham was not indicted. Apparently, he was lucky not to be. But there are other senators who are indicted for merely just processing these requests and thinking, hey, is there something legally that we should do, given that we have witnessed or that there are people who believe that there has been fraud? Is there any remedy that we should use? That's basically legal theorizing. That should be as protected as discussions with your attorney. But nothing is sacred to the Democrats. Even discussions with attorneys have been making it into our courts in these cases. Dino Lugovich says, Ponzi scheme, aka COVID jabs, private-public partnership industry. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Pfizer, they have put themselves in a situation where they realized, hey, just selling medication isn't, we're not making that much money. If we could sell medication, but the government pays for them and we charge super high price and somehow everyone is forced or want to take it, that is the great recipe that Pfizer has found. They have found a way to insert themselves in this special place of politically or socially believed to be needed for everyone. And they haven't stumbled upon that gold vein randomly. They have created it largely. I believe that there has been strategists in these companies who have started realizing, hey, the place where we're going to make the most money is when the kids are forced to take those vaccines to go to school, when the state forces those vaccines onto the population, and when people are really in a state of fear. And I think they have largely planned that everything would unfold the way it did in the COVID crisis. DK Shadow says it's been cultivated for some time. Yeah, even previous pandemics were kind of a repetition for these corporate agents, and they progressively discovered what was the recipe for all of these ingredients to be invoked. State obligations, political pressure, shaming, moral shaming spreading within the population, and they've activated this like a program. Shamrock Shake says Big Pharma has seriously compromised our healthcare systems. Yes, they did. Yes, they are very... I'm not against medication. I think that when we get Big Pharma to make our classical medications, just, you know, basic pills that everyone has been taking for decades, I think they're not that bad at this. And I think they don't generate much profit either from them. I mean, when you're talking about these pills at 10 cents, 50 cents a pill, it's not much money. But when you're talking about $100 per vaccine dose, and when you're talking about enforcing this vaccine on a lot of people, then we're talking about a lot of money. So we have to be careful. We'll be ending the show soon because I want to rest my voice for the private show, which will be starting in 35 minutes. Last news item, our emergency powers, a test to see what Americans will put up with. I think that's an excellent article. Yes, emergency powers, temporary court orders, all that crap is all to test how much you're willing to put up with. They do this in family court. They start with a temporary custody order. And they say, oh, well, you don't have really rights right now. I'm going to decide to believe woman. I'm going to decide to believe her false allegation. Yes, technically it violates your rights. And yes, technically you denied what she's saying. But I'm still going to believe her. Because it's a temporary order. So in a temporary order, you have zero rights. We can do whatever we feel like. And then they build upon what they caused with this temporary order. You come 1 year later and suddenly now you have rights, but they can reproach to you that, hey, you've not been seeing your child for a whole year. I think that the child should be put with the mother now because you've not been spending enough time with the child. Well, they denied you this from the beginning with the false allegations. Emergency powers are the same thing politically, where politicians are, oh, well, it's just for the emergency, and so we can escape the normal constitutional checks. But no one has decided how will an emergency end. There's no mechanism for it other than the politician in power deciding that it's ended. We are in a permanent state of emergency, says Dino Lugovic. Absolutely. There are a number of requirements and obstacles for any president seeking to enforce mandates at the federal level, along with more scrutiny and oversight than is commonly understood. Though a president can declare emergencies unilaterally, there are still some legal checks and balances to be sure these are quietly being eroded with each passing year. I think the only solution is to do an emergency. We are faced with, ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with a high flow of emergencies that have eroded our civil rights. I am declaring an emergency, therefore abolishing all emergencies, despite the fact that it's only a temporary abolishment. It's only going to be for whatever time is needed to recover our rights. And so, yes, technically it's violating the Constitution because I'm like broadly abolishing many emergencies, which I don't even know what they're about. But since it's an emergency, I can do it. I think that will be the only way to get out of it. T.S. Apostolos says, Jeff, what computer did you get when you hold one, when your old one had issues? Needing to upgrade at the moment, doing research, and how is your working out? I've been super happy with my computer. Let me tell you what it is. It's a computer that I took for lower cost. So, you know, normally I was buying the $5,000 computer at whatever time I was buying it. This one, I estimated that the generations of computer had become strong enough that I didn't need to go for the high price one anymore. And I'm super happy with the performance. So it's an AMD Ryzen 7 5700G with Radeon graphics, 16 gigs of installed RAM. So it's a simple system. I mean, nothing fancy. But I paid, $700-something, I believe. So, Ryzen 7, totally fine. I looked at the performance, and it's as performant as the one I bought, the Intel I had bought 5 years ago for $5,000. So, I would highly recommend moving toward AMD if you want cheap, if you want cheaper. If cheaper is not your goal, then you want to go Intel. But if cheaper is your goal, because I was like, okay, my old computer melted basically because of some electricity boost that was probably given by this damn UPS, which is supposed to protect your computer. I'm still convinced as of today that my computer got electrified by this UPS of hell that's standing right in front of me, right there. It's looking at me like it did nothing. You did it. You did it, UPS. And so I thought, do I really need to buy these high luxury computers that can break and there's nothing, I have no recourse. Like, I'm not going to start looking at my receipts and sending my computer through the mail. It's like, there's way too much breach on privacy. I'm not going to send my computer through the mail. So basically, I have no recourse when they break. And I certainly don't have recourses when it's 5 years ago that I bought it. And so I thought, let's go cheaper. And this cheaper computer was equivalent in performance to my old one. So I was like, I'm okay. I was okay with my old one still. Dino Logovic says, it was uninterrupted. Stop complaining. Well, what about the interruption of breaking my computer? That's also an interruption we should consider, no? John Drake says, AMD chips used to run hot. I think they've fixed that issue. Yeah, I think Ryzen has been doing good. They've been going in the right direction. My understanding is that the peak Intel is still a little ahead of the peak Ryzen. But at the price level we're talking about, the Ryzen is totally owning. Frog Eyes says, Jeff, I think we already put up with too much with those stupid Amber Alerts. Why does the government have a right to reach me with an emergency signal when my phone is private and I do not work for the state? That's a good question. Perhaps in the libertarian world, the Amber Alert would be optional. DK Shadow says, Jeff is waiting for the bull run to get a supercomputer. I don't even know if I'll ever need a super powerful computer. Let me tell you, I've been doing some advanced stuff on this one, and it's working great. Now, advanced, not in the sense of super computationally demanding, but lots of development, lots of windows open, lots of parallel processing, even virtualization and, you know, a computer within a computer within a computer. And I've been totally satisfied. All right, guys, I'm cutting the show short because I want to go rest my voice. In 30 minutes, we will have the Patreon hangout. I hope to see some of you there. For those who are at Patreon or Subscribestar or Backed By, go check out the website to get the link to the show tonight. Much love, everyone, and thank you all. Thank you for those who support the show. You are keeping us on your shoulders. Bye-bye.